Two men in a six pack starts in 3, 2, 1. Welcome, two men and a six-pack listeners. This is Goody, joined at the kitchen table tonight by a damn motley crew. I got Nick the Stick. I carry a big hockey stick. Kraft, going to give us a little NHL hockey playoff update. Hurricanes. I got Joey. I got into single digits last year as a golfer. Mahalchik, Team Dixon over there on the right.
Team Bulldog.
I got Bobby Mills, fresh off the plane.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for coming back in. We held up recording tonight for you.
I told the pilot he had to hurry up because he was getting delayed.
All right. And then I got Daddy Mills, who is looking at something and who is, as Nick referred to him today in our text thread, a bandwagon Carolina Hurricanes fan. So Bob Mills is a bandwagon Hurricanes fan. First of all, I want to thank Mike Brannon for at Twin Peaks for the food spread that he's given us today. Mike, if you're listening later on, you know what else you got to work on. Me and you've been talking about it a little bit this week, so we may potentially have some big news coming down the pike in the next month. That's all I can say.
The special announcement.
So anyway, let's move on quickly because the avocado dip. Yeah. All right, we're going to keep this to between 35 and 40 minutes because I got a lot of positive feedback on that last week. April 28th birthdays. 1966, pro golfer, pro Hellraiser, John Daly. Two-time major champion, 91 PGA, 95 British Open. He is not a part of Team Titleist.
like other local celebrities. Unlike
some other local celebrities that I have heard are part of Team Titleist now. He is the team, but he did have that. He was the major spokesperson for that. Damn, what was that? Loudmouth?
Loudmouth Gear.
Loudmouth Gear.
And I'll tell you a little tidbit. I met John Daly in Greensboro, North Carolina. In Greensboro, North Carolina at a Hooters when I was 13 years old.
Did he buy you a beer?
No, I was not in rehab at 13.
Did he buy you a beer?
No, he did offer me one, but did I didn't.
Okay, all right. Also, born, this is for you. They know the answer to this. Born 1973, All-World Center for the Houston Rockets. Do you know who that is?
Yao Ming.
No. Serge Wicker, UNC, Chapel Hill. Hey, that proves that if you're 7 foot tall, you can play in the NBA.
You play forever.
Also, 1950, James Douglas Murr Leno.
Woo, big car guy.
Big car guy, Jay Leno, born on this day 69 years ago. The Tonight Show, 1992. To 2014, and then a beauty amongst the three beasts that we just mentioned.
Nick, 37-year-old Jessica Alba.
She's 37.
37.
She looks like she's 17. Yeah. I'm going to say 18 because I don't want to say 17.
Hot.
I'll say 25. Okay, we'll say 25. All right. She's kind of a good-looking girl.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
All right. Let's move on. No, we're going to get right to the meat of things. NFL draft.
Oh, man.
Just interesting last couple, 3 days, highlighted by, you knew once Arizona took Murray, it was only going to be a matter of time that Josh Rosen was going to go somewhere. So before we talk about that big trade, let me just give you some grades. NFL.com, grade A, they got these guys, these teams got rated, they had a grade A draft. The Patriots, of course, because they had probably 92 picks.
They had 16 picks.
Yeah, they had just something ungodly. The Raiders, which they say the first pick the Raiders drafted, that Farrell kid out of Clemson, that they reached on him. They said that they didn't think he was going to be the first Clemson defensive lineman off the board.
Should have been the third player from Clemson drafted.
But that's pretty impressive by Clemson. Three defensive linemen.
Three.
In the first
four,
round.
Four, 13, and 17 is where the numbers they went.
And Dabo's got a little praise coming up because of what happened in the NFL draft, and we'll talk about that. The Redskins, grade A draft. They drafted, of course, their quarterback of the future, Giles Haskins. And Montrez Sweat from Mississippi State, he's a hell of a damn player. Bryce Love, running back from
Stanford.
Stanford.
He's actually a North Carolina kid.
From Raleigh, from the Raleigh area. Mm-hmm. He sure is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from
he Raleigh. He was Heisman runner-up the year before, right?
Yeah. Had an off year this year, this past year. Injury, and I think they had a new quarterback, and I just think they kind of, you know, when you're like the best player on the field for, by far the best player on the field for your team, they're going to key on you. I mean, I felt it all the time when I was playing basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the best player on the team, and I mean, I double triple teamed, and I mean, I had to throw some bows at Bob and Max Sly and Luke Keys. I mean, Luke, what's his name? Keys. Yeah, man. I mean, they would triple team me, and I would have to just dog and scrap for everything I could. So, I mean, I understand where Bryce Love is coming from. Cardinals also considered a grade A draft. I don't agree with that. And then the Ravens, who got, I think, the sleeper of the draft, that wide receiver out of Oklahoma.
Marquise Brown.
That dude is going to tear it up, man. He's awesome. He's awesome. Grade D, no F drafts, but grade D drafts, the Cowboys, the Bucks, and the Rams. Our Panthers got an A- draft. I think they had a hell of a draft. This is the guy's first draft. Because he wasn't the general manager last year. Well, his first draft since he's come back, obviously, because he took over as general manager. What's his name? The general manager for Panthers starts with an M. His last name. Anyway, got the kid out of Florida State, Burns. Got the offensive tackle Greg Little out of Ole Miss. The quarterback of the future.
Even though
he walked out on his team. Ooh. Will Greer, he should be very well rested. The kid you're going to have to watch for, the sneaky kid they said, Christian Miller, the defensive end outside linebacker, Alabama. Mm-hmm. In the defense that the Panthers play, they said you're going to have to watch this kid. They said that this kid potentially, I think he was taken in like the fourth round. This kid is going to be a monster. They said if he can get in and learn the schemes, he's going to be a monster. So, as long I'm on the Panther bandwagon, because one, they didn't sign Colin Kaepernick. Two, because there's a potential that they may sit Cam Newton now, because and let Quitter Greer come in and start. I hope he doesn't quit on his. I hope he doesn't quit on the Panthers. You think he'll quit on that?
I thought, well, he will if it's, you know, just
suits. Push comes to shove.
I thought they were not going to sit Cam.
Oh, they're probably not. I mean, they said,
he's good on the recovery, but they're saying if he's not where the parts needs to be. Yeah.
Recovering quite.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, well, Joey, you obviously have some draft notes. So talk to me about some draft notes, but I do want to talk about the Josh Rosen going to the Dolphins thing.
I got
to,
go ahead. That's number four pick with Cleveland Farrell, and then six Daniel Jones
going to the Lions. That was a big reach.
I think he'll be okay, but like you're using a first round pick on Daniel Jones. He probably would have been in the second or third round.
But
he might have been undrafted. Well,
they said that they had the 17th pick, and if they loved him that much, he was going to be there with the 17th, because no one else, the only quarterback taken after him and before was Haskins
going to be gone, right? Yeah.
And the Skins, if Haskins and Daniel Jones were there, they were going to take Haskins. They were not going to take Daniel Jones.
You know, I think it's about philosophy and like strategy for these teams. So I think several teams lost in strategy. To me, the first team that lost is the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, the number one pick, you're telling everybody you're picking Kyler Murray the whole time, and you wait till the last second after day one to trade Josh Rosen.
But I think they were trying to get – they were holding out. I think they used their whole time seeing what they would get.
But
what I'm saying, somebody could have moved into that spot and got something, got something more.
So, yeah, and what they were waiting on as well, I think, too, is that they were waiting on somebody that was hoping to get a quarterback in the draft that potentially didn't get a quarterback.
But I just think that's a terrible strategy. Their strategy sucks. And I think – it was just unbelievable. And the way they did it, they didn't tell Kyler Murray or Josh Rosen they were going to pick him. till minutes before the draft.
Yeah, they said, I read that, the GM actually called Josh Rosen and said, hey, just give you a heads up, we're getting ready to pick. And that was on the up-and-up thing. That was legitimately the only up-and-up thing I think they did during the whole process.
That's what I'm saying. Do you think the Rams or the Patriots, you know, the preeminent teams, do you think they wait to the last minute and tell players?
Well, that's why they're the Rams and the Patriots, and that's why they're the Cardinals.
Exactly. That's my point. So I think the Cardinals... just grade A mess up. I think the Giants, I don't know what in the world you're thinking taking Daniel Jones 6th. I mean, I don't think he's as good as Ryan Finley.
Who the Bengals traded up and got and took Finley. Yeah. Who I'm going to call this right now, he could potentially compete
With Andy Dalton.
The Red Rifle Shooter or whatever his name is. He's
Red Rocket Shooter.
Red Rocket Shooter, dude, whatever his name is. I'm telling you, he's horrible. He's past his prime. He was never good. No. Well, Andy Dalton was never.
He's not bad. He's middle of the road.
He's middle of the road. He was inadequate. Hey, listen,
he had a great career? Are we going to start that?
Absolutely. I won fantasy with Andy Dalton as my quarterback.
Yeah. Is Cam Newton better than Andy Dalton? Yes. Absolutely better than Cam.
Wow.
Cam Newton's taken it. Granted, they lost, but Cam Newton has taken Carolina to the Super Bowl.
That is true.
Well, that defense helped take them to the Super Bowl.
Well, Andy Dalton, I don't think the Bengals have won a playoff game. I might be wrong, but I
think not with Andy Dalton.
Not with Andy Dalton.
Correct.
I don't know if they won one, period.
Yeah. No, I know, I'm just kidding. They made the Super Bowl. Icky shuffle, man.
I got another funny side story, though. I was watching all the different pre-draft stuff, and one of the funniest things was DK Metcalf had an interview with the Seahawks. Did you hear about this?
No.
He had an interview with the Seahawks.
So tell everybody, DK Metcalf, super freak wide receiver, Ole Miss.
Yes, like everyone's seen his picture online about how he's just such a massive man with a... Well, he shows up to the the Seahawks interview without a shirt on.
And Pete Carroll took his shirt off.
Oh, that's cool, man. Yeah. I'm not a Seahawks fan. I'm not really a Pete Carroll fan.
I'm not either, but
that's pretty.
You gotta love that.
Yeah, but that's pretty cool.
Is he Terry Metcalf's nephew?
I think we determined he is some relation to Terry Metcalf. Okay. No one here except you and I probably know who Terry Metcalf is. Maybe Joey. He was a running back for St. Louis Cardinals.
Don't you think the strategy you implement at the draft is the strategy you're using for the team the whole year? So if you see a weak strategy, you know you're not going to have a good team around this guy who's in charge. Like to me, if the GM of the Cardinals, the GM of the Giants, should both be fired today.
So another interesting side note, and then I'll let you get back to draft. I'm going out on a limb right now, and you've heard it here, much like my Milwaukee Bucks predictions after they got smacked today about representing the East. I'm going out on a limb and saying, there's going to be a quarterback this year in the NFL that's going to have a horrible year. And you know who that's going to be? My homeboy, Pat McCombs.
What?
He got disgraced and got put on the NFL Madden cover. It's the Madden cover jinx.
Man.
Last year, you know who was on the cover? Antonio Brown. He's no longer with the Browns.
He had a good year, though.
No, he did. He sat out. I mean, but he ended up, okay.
He had a good year.
You know who was on it the year before? Odell Beckham. Man, Odell Beckham got hurt. That was when
he's
Odell,
always hurt.
Yeah. And it's like there's a, you know, so, and this traces back to a year that my son has a jersey, Peyton Hillis. You all know, probably it was on the cover, Arkansas running back, went to Cleveland, had a great year. My man Joey went to a Cleveland game, brought Gray back a Peyton Hillis jersey, and the next season the Browns cut him. So anyway, Pat McCombs, I'm going on record saying Pat McCombs is going to have a slump this year's quarterback because of the Madden curse.
Ray Lewis beat the Madden curse.
Well, he scared it. He told him the tiger effect. He told him, he said, hey, man, there's no curse or I'll murder you. So anyway.
Wow.
What else you got about the NFL draft?
No, I broke down the Panthers. Keep going. There's 7 picks.
Are you as excited about the Panthers draft as me?
I think so. I was reading their 6th-round pick was this guy, Dennis Daly, offensive tackle, 6'5", 317, and he said he doesn't move people real well. Like, that's sort of discouraging when you're 6'5 and 317 and you don't move people real well.
And he's not tall enough.
Isn't that your job?
Seriously.
Right.
Is that your job?
Well, they misunderstood him. He doesn't move people. He moves crowds real well. That was what he meant to say.
He's not real fast, but he'll play inside like a guard.
Yeah. Oh, if he's like that way, yeah, he'll move the guard. He won't play tackle.
Yeah. And then the running back they got, Jordan Scarlett.
The Colts have to pull, though.
Where's he from?
Florida.
From Florida.
Right, right, running back. Yeah, so it's real good speed.
Yeah.
And then they got a receiver, Terry Godwin from, where's he from?
Oh, I saw that. Where is Terry Godwin from?
Is he from South Carolina?
I think he might be.
From South Carolina. Yeah. So, not bad.
The big thing is
offensive linemen.
They address the needs.
Right.
And that's all you have to look at is they were strategic. Bobby was talking about strategically going into this. They strategically drafted what they needed.
I like the first pick. Burns,
that dude was nasty. Right. He needs to put on a little bit of weight. Even though he's going to be an edge rusher.
He ought to come spend the weekend with us.
Yeah, he ought to come. Hey. You are more than welcome to come hang out with Two Men to Six Pack. And in fact, next week I'm going to try to get either Tim LaSpada or I'm going to try to get his guy, DeAndre, who he was signed as a free agent. Nice. The kid from Penn State that went to Swansboro, he was signed as a free agent, I think, by the Philadelphia Eagles. I read it either today or at least maybe try to get a phone interview with him or something like that. Talk to him, tell him we got a little podcast. We can make him a little more famous than he already is.
He's got NFL speed.
He's got Olympian speed. Yes. That dude was nasty fast. So, anything else on the NFL draft?
I don't know. Ryan Finley, fourth round, went to the Bengals. I guess that we've already said that.
That's a good fit. But then for him too.
Bob asked about Metcalf. He went in number 64, which I had last week was 36, but he went 64 to the Seahawks.
So was that the last pick of the second round or first pick of the third round?
I didn't pay attention to that.
There's 32 teams.
I thought he was.
32 teams.
I thought it was a third round pick. I can't remember.
Okay.
But he was a seventh wide receiver selected.
I like it. Wow. I'm just telling you, the kid is just, you know, just nasty.
Physical specimen.
Physically, yeah. Right, but.
Will it equate to being a player?
Right.
Hines Ward was never that big.
He's a quarterback in college.
Hines Ward was a quarterback in college.
I know, I'm just saying.
And you know what school? What school did Hines Ward go to? Don't say anything. What college?
You know? Pitt?
Nope, University of Georgia, baby.
Okay.
He was a Bulldog. Exactly. So, Panthers, Joey, thumbs up, thumb down.
Thumbs up.
Nick, Panthers draft, thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up.
Besides Will Greer.
Quitter Greer.
I think that should have taken Ryan. Ryan Finley's a better pick than Will Greer.
A lot better.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But now Will Greer does have a hot wife. I don't know if you've seen a picture of her. He's married. He's married with a kid.
West Virginia. You probably got married at 14. So.
No, he's
from Charlotte.
So you know he's from Charlotte, and he went to school at the University of Florida.
Before got in trouble for PEDs.
For PEDs, and then transferred to
for growth hormones.
When he was down in Florida, he was dating. They maybe got married up in West Virginia, but he met his wife
in Florida.
In Florida, so.
She's not his second cousin.
Right? Yeah, it's his fourth cousin on his mother's father's side. Yeah. So anyway, all right, Nick. Talk to us about the Canes, baby.
Man.
NHL. A lot has happened. Talk to us.
Well, there's been a lot happened since last Sunday, obviously. We were talking about game five. We took a big blow to the chin, losing 6-0. Game six, I went to the game with my cousin Zach and my brother Logan. We won the game 5-2. But I actually missed two of the goals because I was in the bathroom. And Tom Dundon sent me an email off the game and said he's adding me to the payroll. Says he's just going to start sending me to the bathroom. So, but anyway, so Ovechkin got kicked out of the game with a minute.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
With a minute left, so yeah. The crowd went crazy. Man, it was pretty intense.
He's arguably the best player in the NHL, right?
Best player in the NHL, but he's a bitch. I hate to say it, but just is.
But you want him on your team.
I definitely actually.
Yeah, you take him on your team.
I would take him.
He's really a great player.
He's the kind of guy that.
He's Steve Zion Williamson.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. I forgot about all that this week, but go ahead.
So game seven is actually the third longest recorded game seven in NHL playoff history. Obviously, the Canes were more conditioned. We went to double overtime. Brock McGinn saved a goal with a couple minutes left in the first overtime and then ended up scoring and double OT to get the Canes a 4-3 lead and actually won the game. So game one of Stanley Cup playoffs, round two, me and Bob were at Carolina Ale House at Glenwood and watched Jordan Staal score the overtime winning goal.
Which was a nice goal,
which
by
was
the
a
way.
Great goal. Awesome goal.
Really nice.
Game two, was tonight. We went down 1-0 early. Peter Mrazek, our goalie, who's been the MVP this series and actually this entire playoff, went down hurt in the second period. I think it said he pulled his groin. So he most likely will not be back for game 3.
Five players have been hurt.
Yeah, we actually have a lot of players hurt, which is really – actually made us bring up a couple guys from Charlotte Checkers. And I saw somebody post on Facebook Carolina Hurricanes page. It said, man, if we keep getting hurt like this, Charlotte Checkers will be playing for the NHL Stanley Cup this year. So,
when's game?
So we won tonight.
Okay, won tonight. I'm sorry.
One tonight, yeah.
What was the irony to that?
We actually weren't there. We weren't watching the game. We were coming to Twin Peaks to pick up the food. And we scored 2 goals in 40 seconds, a minute into the third period. So, game 3 and 4 are going to be in Raleigh. Going to be big. Play Wednesday night and then also play again Friday night. So, Boston and Columbus are tied one game to one.
That's the other Eastern final.
Yep, they play Super game final. play game 3 and 4 at Columbus. Canes up obviously 2-0 over New York Islanders. Will be at home for game 3 and 4. San Jose is up 1-0 over the Avalanche. They play tonight at home in San Jose. The Blues and the Stars are tied 1-1. Game 3 and 4 in Dallas. So,
are you still sticking to your prediction from last week? The Columbus Blue Jackets versus the.
I think it's gonna be Columbus.
St. Louis Blues.
Columbus and Blues.
So you're gonna hop off at that some point in time the Canes train.
I mean, obviously I'm a Canes fan for life, so I'm going for the Canes.
You're a bunch of jerks.
I'm actually wearing a bunch of jerks shirt tonight. So. Yeah. But I like to see Blue Jackets and Blues. I'm gonna stick with it.
Okay. I like your commitment.
Can't say it, but just. Going along with
I like your commitment. Thank you. We'll look forward to some update this week.
I'm going to go to game 4.
Next Sunday, we'll and we're up 2-0, so maybe next Sunday he'll be saying the Hurricanes are sitting there resting a little bit, waiting to see who they're going to play.
I tell you, one thing about the Canes, their Hurricane logo, that double flag with the Central Carolina, it's a terrible logo. It's got to be one of the worst logos I've ever seen made.
I think it's badass.
I think it looks terrible.
I think it's kind of... Well, I like so. You don't like that one?
No, not the normal logo. That one right there.
Oh yeah, that's kind of cartoonish.
Mm-hmm. Just not a good.
I like the. You know what I'm talking about? I like the
on their
like
black jerseys.
I like
they
the
wear.
Circle logo. Though.
It's not real clear.
Yeah, it's very difficult to understand what you're looking.
It looks like a brick.
Yeah, you're right. It does. Actually, I think that might be the brick that's at NC State around NC State's campus.
That's probably not enough of them.
Yeah. No, because that is literally following the red brick road campus. Wherever you want to go. Yeah. All right. Playoffs, NBA playoffs.
Wow.
I'm still, much like Nick, I'm still sticking with my prediction about the Bucks. I can't get all fear of the deer. I mean, obviously. Cool. The C's didn't fear it today, obviously.
No.
And they smacked around.
Smacked them.
Yeah, and to take a 1-0 lead.
Make it sick.
You know, they took a 1-0 lead. The Celtics destroyed the Bucks in Milwaukee. Obviously,
are you shocked?
They haven't lost that uniform.
I'm just telling you, dude, I'm going for – I predicted the Bucks. I'm not shifting. Celtics were probably – the thing the Celtics have going for them is they've got the best coach in the NBA. They have the best coach in – college or pro basketball in the world, Brad Stevens. So, I mean,
you think he's now the best coach, arguably,
absolutely,
in the world. He's leapfrogged Coach K.
He leapfrogged Coach K when he was coaching at Butler.
No,
he had a Butler team play for the national championship with zero All Americans,
like us five.
Yeah, us five guys.
They're a little better
playing
than
against a team that had 32 McDonald's All Americans. Including Waterboy and statistician. Granted, they got beat.
You're right.
Okay. I'm just telling you, dude.
So he's leapfrog Coach K.
I will go back to the premise. It's easy to coach all Americans. Roll the ball out there and let them play.
Unless you're Duke because they roll it out but then can't win.
Yeah, no, it's easy to coach. You're just not coaching hard enough.
You're right.
So anyway. So yeah, I stick to the premise that Brad Stevens is the best coach coaching at any level of basketball. There may be some...
You also think the Ducks are going to win.
Nurse
and they're going to lose.
Coaching in Iowa, a middle school team that I don't know about currently.
Better than Greg Popovich.
Yeah, I've never. Popovich was smart. I think the thing that I don't like about Popovich, even last night,
he's very liberal.
He's. Well, I don't really care about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is a liberal, but he's a jerk to the media. I don't like that. Granted, now we is the media, but we is the media now.
He hates us because he ain't us.
He hates us because he ain't us. But
so he's an anus.
But let me clarify. So I don't think the media has a. I think the media stepped overboard, and the whole sports world. I don't think because you play professional basketball, when you get done playing professional basketball, I don't feel like you have any obligation to go up and answer a damn question.
I believe you do.
Why?
It's the entertainment industry. They sell tickets.
I don't care. I'm getting paid to play basketball. If you want to put in my contract, okay, you're going to pay me to play basketball and give five interviews, then I'm going to give five interviews. I just think that that our society and our world has become just, you know, now, hell, you play
a... So you love Kawhi Leonard then? You love Kawhi Leonard because you don't do no interviews.
No, I just...
Next question.
I mean, now, dude. Now,
next question.
Look, now, dude.
Next question.
No, that's Russell Westbrook.
Oh, yeah. Next question.
But look, now you have AAU tournaments and games, and they set up press tables for them. I mean, it's expected that kids are going... The kids want to play basketball. Yeah. They're not role models, right. Charles Barkley.
Right.
You know, so I agree
with that.
Like, the media has got to the point, though, now... that they can make you or break you. And if you're a jerk to them, then they can be a jerk back to you.
And they ask some of the craziest questions.
They ask some stupid questions.
And how do you feel? What do you mean? We just won. I feel bad. It's
or like, we just lost. Well, right. Obviously I feel bad. So they asked Popovich some questions last night, and I was listening to his answer. I was like, yeah, he's a jerk. But at the same time, I am going, you're a jerk. But, you know, yeah, you did get asked just a dumbass question. I mean, that question they just asked you was a dumb... But, so, I don't like Popovich because I just think he's a jerk. Like, during... Yeah. The thing that I don't like now, too, is also during NBA basketball games on TNT or during the playoffs.
They interview the coach.
Between the quarters. Yeah. Hey, man, let me go coach my team during the quarters. Right. And, I agree. You know, I don't have time to do that.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
You know, I'm down by 15 after one quarter. I probably should go spend my time with my team. Mm-hmm. So, anyway. Hey, but back to the Brad Stevens, the bomb.
Okay. One of the best interviews, I don't remember, 2 years ago, Baylor and Colgate play. I think it was Colgate. And they asked the guy from Baylor that Colgate out-rebounded him. And he's, you know, how did that happen? He said, well, you know, when you shoot the ball and it comes off the backboard, and you grab it with two hands and you come down with it, that is a rebound. And they got more of those than we did.
Great answer.
That's awesome.
So
that
Celtics,
was really good.
So Celtics, 1-0 lead over Bucks. Warriors squeaked one out. Yeah. I didn't watch the game. Y'all want to give me a little...
Those are my duds. My duds are the...
I don't think the Rockets Chris were Paul, duds. Oh, okay.
Chris Paul and D'Antoni.
Really?
They both got technicals.
Is that what cost them the game?
Well, I mean, they lost by four.
Yeah, it was 104.
And James Harden got a technical, too, in the last 4 minutes of the game. And so, I mean, it's going to be a good series. I think it's going to go seven games. But
who's going to win?
I'll take the Warriors.
Okay.
I find, you know, what's been interesting is how teams have been guarding the Rockets. The Warriors didn't do it, like how the Utah Jazz mirrored it, I think, after the Bucks earlier in the season, about playing James Harden from his side. I just found that a really interesting strategy.
Well, he got to the basket a lot more. He didn't sit on three. Today he went to the basket because they were trying to...
They sit on his left hand.
Right.
Yeah.
They sit on his left hand, and they're playing him side because he's so lethal. But he's so lethal, that step back three, mm-hmm. and he gets fouled so many times.
That traveling move?
Yeah.
But they didn't call it today where the shooter went to shoot, and the defender jumped into space, and he fell down. They didn't call that. It was very minimal. They didn't call it at all. And those were the technical fouls. Because they got upset. Because Harden,
Chris Paul got a double technical. I guess he got tossed.
He got earlier in the game, and then at the end, because he thought he got fouled, and he blew out the referee and got tossed.
So Warriors are up 1-0. Next game will, I'm assuming, be Tuesday night. I'm assuming in Golden State again.
I think it's not. Did the referee warrant tossing him out?
It's Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
You have to know when you're given the second technical that you're ejecting. Obviously, yeah, the star of the team.
Yeah, you're changing the
game. Well,
There was 4 seconds left in the game.
There was 4 seconds left, and they had the ball, so it was kind of...
Okay, yeah.
So tomorrow night, we got the Sixers, who got throttled by the Raptors in game one yesterday.
Kawhi went for 45.
Yeah, Kawhi went for... So that trade, but that trade for Kawhi for DeMar DeRozan, that worked out pretty good for Toronto. And not as good for San Antonio, correct?
Well, he was leaving San Antonio.
Yeah, right. He was already gone.
But DeRozan is playing. Have you seen the starting five for the Spurs? Are you kidding me? For them to even make the playoffs was pretty remarkable.
I'm not diminishing. I'm just saying it worked out pretty good for Toronto in getting Kawhi Leonard.
And whoever developed.
Top five player.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And then whoever developed, I don't know what his first name is, but his last name is Siakam. And he averaged last year 6 points, and this year he's averaged like 24 points a game.
Wow.
And then last night, him and Kawhi, I think they went for like 75, 76 points.
Did Danny Green do anything?
Oh, my God.
He did. He hit some threes, but like Siakam went for like 25, 26. He was like 11 for 13 for shooting. I mean, from the floor.
Heard of it.
Exactly. Siakam. Wow. Pascal, I think he's Pascal Siakam.
I think he played a butler for Brad Stevens back, Mike.
But I mean, he's just blown up. I mean, and they're. They
just
pretty.
Just Toronto's coach. I don't know.
Gosh. I don't even know who the coach is either.
Do they have one?
I can't remember.
I think they just pulled five guys off the street.
Remember, they fired the coach from last year because he was first.
Because he lost to LeBron James.
He won the coach of the year last year and got fired
in the playoffs.
Hey, lost against, it's not Mark Malone, is it?
He's got swept by LeBron.
Mark Malone is coaching the Denver Nuggets.
That's
right. And that is the next game. Tomorrow night is the Portland Trail Blazers versus the Denver Nuggets.
Who cares?
Now,
that's the one series that no one's going to watch.
This is, it's not my dud of the week. This
Nick
may be
Nurse.
My. Who?
Nick Nurse.
Nick Nurse is the coach of the Toronto Raptors. This isn't my dud of the week. This could be the dud of the year. So, on one side of the West, you got the Warriors Rockets, and the other side, you have the Blazers Nuggets. Do we really care after the Warriors Rockets?
No.
Anything that goes on in the West?
Doesn't matter.
I mean, I'm a Dame Lillard. I like him. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
But the four little jacks he's got with him are not.
C.J. McCollum can score the basketball. Yeah, I mean, the two guards are averaging 52 points a game in the playoffs.
Those two are averaging 52, and as a team, they're averaging 60. That's my point. C.J. McCollum's not bad. Then. We talked about this last week. They got that went to Wake Forest. They got the Rodney Hood cast off from Duke, which is a cast off from Cleveland, which is a cast off what he went to, like Arkansas before that, or wherever he went. I mean, it's like you can't name their other three starters. Sure. And then you got the Nuggets. I legitimately cannot name a starter on the Nuggets team. They got some foreign dude that's like the bomb. That's all I know. Can you name a starter on the Nuggets? There's a Murray guy. Jamal Murray. That's the only one. Can you name
Paul Millsap?
Okay, I didn't know. I still thought he played for Utah Jazz. Okay. Again, can anybody name a starter?
No.
Mason Plumlee comes off the bench.
And the Nuggets and the Nuggets finished second in the West behind the Warriors.
Yeah.
Scary thought. Anyway. Mm. All right, moving on. So I'm still sticking with Fear of the Deer, so I'm going with the Bucks. Y'all still sticking with the Celtics, so y'all got Celtics.
Absolutely.
We had some. You were throwing around the Sixers. Are you sticking with the Sixers or are you going with the Raptors?
I switched to Celtics last week because
Joel Embiid. Yeah, I know, but who are they going to play? Are they going to play the Raptors or the Sixers?
I don't care.
I think it'll be the Celtics and the Raptors.
And who do you think is going to come out of there?
Celtics.
Yeah. Because Brad Stevens.
Oh, yeah. Because they have a really good team.
Okay.
And they got some good players.
And Warriors Rockets going to be who?
It'll be the
Warriors in seven.
Yeah.
Warriors in six.
And then the game that the AAU team Blaze versus the Queen City Nuggets. I mean, who's going to win that one?
It don't matter.
Okay.
Damon Lillard, I mean, I think
I don't know.
It'd be the Trailblazers and the Warriors. Warriors probably sweep it in three games.
They just give up.
The Warriors will beat it by 50 first game, and they'll call done.
Yeah.
Just call them nine.
It'll be the suicide. What is it in when you play pool and you don't make any balls? It's like suicide or whatever, like when you're shooting pool.
When you get skunk. When you
get skunk. You get skunk. That's what it is. Yeah, you got skunk. We're starting. Hey, can we just stop this game in the second quarter and just go through the next
mercy
game?
Mercy rule.
Yeah, the mercy rule. Okay.
They're going to have to go streaking around the house, basically, what's going to happen with them.
Real quickly, college basketball. Got two little things we want to talk about.
Oh, man.
Fantastic week for those Heels. Five-star guard combo, Cole Anthony, son of Greg Anthony. I did not know that until like last week.
Oh, man.
Did you not know that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
The UNLV running rebel, Greg Anthony, this was his son. I did not know that.
He's committed, a good announcer, too.
Yeah. Great announcer. I actually think he would be a pretty good coach.
He's been one.
He's got a pretty good... No, he wasn't. No, I don't think he's ever been a coach.
I swear.
Really? I don't know.
I don't know. We can look it up and see. We have this thing called the internet, and we have phones. So, Carolina, Cole Anthony. Then we turned around and signed a four-star guard, Anthony Harris, out of Virginia. Then... We're going to be guard heavy. We may throw four guys out on the court that are 6'5 and shorter. We may just bench our big guys. Graduate transfer, Christian Keeling, Charleston Southern. Got 1 year left. We did add, these guys were added to the Armando Bacon kid, a five-star center out of Florida, IMG, and Jeremiah Francis. And we're still waiting to hear. I did not know this. I'm going just to claim ignorance on this part. Evidently, one of the most highly sought-after grad transfers in the country, comes from William & Mary College. Grad transfer, a kid named Justin Pierce, 6'7 forward, white guy, looks a little bit like a little smaller version, not as intense in crazy eyes of Tyler Hansbrough. He's narrowed it down to three schools, Carolina, Notre Dame, and Michigan. So Carolina has a chance to fill some much-needed scoring potential this week. And you, I feel like you want to make a comment.
I mean, I applaud your coach, Roy Williams, for changing the venue of what you've always said, the typical Carolina team, slow-footed guys. And yeah, it's a guards game, so maybe he's changing.
Yeah. Maybe he's been listening to this podcast. And maybe we know that UNC basketball officials have been listening to this podcast. So, yeah, I mean, all those guys I named besides the Bacon kid is tall. He's a slender. He's not a bulky seven-footer. He's not a Eric Montrose seven-footer. He's more of a, tell me, an agile seven-footer. Kevin Durant seven-footer. So, one other interesting thing that happened this week out of college basketball, they still got these wiretap things going on. They're in New York. FBI wiretapping. Did you see what surfaced this week about all this stuff? Zion and them have done something. I'm just going to tell you this. But another name that surfaced was Marvin Bagley III. His name came up in this thing as well. Now Bagley was also from Arizona, or was being recruited. I think he's from Arizona or from California. But he was also being heavily recruited by Arizona. And so the kid that's now playing for the Suns, you know, DeAndre Ayton, you know, there was a lot of speculation around him. Bagley's name has now surfaced. Zion's name has now surfaced again through an assistant coach at Clemson. But to be fair, I will say this, the best line out of the whole thing, they call it the guy on wiretap saying this now, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but they were talking about where Zion might be going. And they go, well, you know, name some this and said this and that. And they go, and you know, Duke, Carolina, Kentucky, you know, they got their guys lined up, which basically he was saying they could take care of paying them if they wanted to. So something's going to go down with this. I said it a month ago. This FBI wiretap thing is not going away. The guy that everybody here in this room, I think, and or at least a lot of people did on the internet, that guy that got arrested for potentially trying to blackmail the lawyer, trying to blackmail Nike,
yeah,
the dude shit is real. I'm just telling you, something is going to happen.
Man.
And so stay tuned. We may have something next week. Mm. Prince Zion may be, you know, actually, nothing's going to happen to him, you know. I mean, right. So, but anyway, and I'm not pointing him out. It's happening. It's been happening in college basketball. It's been going on. But if anybody that thinks that their program is clean, it's because you're a fool.
Well, so, I think East Carolina's program's clean.
I don't think I don't think they give them bags of money. I think they give them bags of McDonald's. Yeah. So it's just what you're giving them inside the bag.
That kid they gave, what's his, Jalen Gardner, they gave him something because that kid can play.
Yeah.
That kid can ball, man.
He's good.
That kid can ball.
That was a good
pickup. Good.
All right, studs and duds. Who wants to start with the stud?
I'll go first. Nice. Dabo Sweeney's my stud.
Yep.
I agree, concur.
10 years, $93 million. Mm. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Well, but go ahead and give the rest of the great details of the contract.
I don't know all of it. I know he gets
the buyout. Give him the buyout.
The $6 million if he goes four if he goes anywhere else, six if he goes to Alabama.
And then if he makes it to the semifinals,
he has to be the highest paid
the following year, the one of the highest paid coach. Three highest paid coaches. Right.
In college football.
Now, we had a debate offline before we hit record on this thing. These guys, we don't know about Dabo Swinney, but Joey looked it up. These guys are state employees.
Yeah.
Nick Saban is a state employee of Alabama. So, would you consider, do you think Nick would be doing some grace if he decided to donate his pension back to the state of Alabama? If he stayed there for 30 years and got a pension, do you think he would be doing some justice by donating whatever little pension he got back to
the state? Yeah, $93 million doesn't go as far as it used to.
That's a good point. I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough doing that. I think Joey said, so who the number of the high – before Dabo.
Nick Saban.
Nick Saban is the highest state employee.
In the country.
Who was number two?
Jim Harbaugh.
No, he was three. He was two.
We got Florida.
Oh, Chuck, gosh. I can't remember.
Texas A&M coach?
Dead air on radio isn't good.
Was it Franklin?
James Franklin.
Yeah. Penn State.
Yeah. Okay.
And then three was Harbaugh. Four was Calipari, I think.
Yeah.
Calipari was in the top five.
It was. Urban Meyer was top five, but he's no longer.
And, of course, this was in last year, 18. Now that I told them, now Calipari signed that lifetime contract, he's got to be, right next to Trump.
Yeah, for the
I mean, he's got to be pulling in Trump money now, man. I mean,
so Clemson's my stud of the week because I think they wrapped him up because the Bama fans were drooling just waiting for Nick Saban to retire.
$6 million ain't nothing.
They made that in one football game. Hey,
they paid that out more in signing bonuses this spring.
They probably would have to pull out of their left hand pocket.
Right. There were $6 million signing bonus for those players.
They wouldn't even have to transfer money out of their check line reserve to write that check. They just stroke it. Dang. So, stud is Clemson, stud is Dabo. You got a stud?
My stud of the week is Sebastian Janikowski.
Good call.
He's retiring after
19 years.
Man, listen to these great stats.
There's some
now.
Good stuff, man. Sebastian Janikowski, obviously the highest paid kicker in NFL history. He made over $53 million during his course of career. And he was one of only two players left from the 2000 NFL draft. Do you know who the other player was?
Tom Brady.
He was the first. Is he the only first round pick?
I believe he's the only first round kicker ever taken. He was the 17th overall, I believe.
Yeah, dude. You know you're a badass when they spend a first round draft pick on taking you
as a kicker.
You're a game changer,
man.
And he definitely solidified the persona that you don't have to be a kicker and be an athlete.
What do you mean?
Kind of like CC Sabathia,
John Crooks.
John Crooks
for baseball, right?
Well, when you kick it as far, I mean, you're about right though. When you kick it that far, you don't have to run.
No, he wasn't running.
When he ran, he waddled.
He was the modern day replacement's the leg.
Yeah. I mean, everything but smoking cigarettes.
I think he did smoke cigarettes one time. No, seriously, I think he did. I mean, he literally the leg was actually made after him. Like they personified him in that movie.
Yeah. Nick, stud of the week.
I got the Carolina Hurricanes. They've won four games in a row.
I can't disagree with you. Let's go, Canes.
I hope you can jinx them.
Oh, my.
Just go back there.
Dud of the week. Anybody got a dud of the week? I got a good one.
I got a couple.
All right, go ahead.
My first dud of the week is Alexander Ovechkin.
All right.
Just for, he really showed his ass, the last two games of the series and kind of made a fool of himself.
Although he did, after the game 7, he did shake every single Hurricane. He did. He did. Yeah. He stayed and shook their hands and congratulated them. So that was Paul. Yeah, that was impressive.
And my second dub of the week, obviously, just got to say his name, Zion Williamson.
Just because it's Zion. I concur with that one. Joey, dud of the week.
I don't have a dud. I have another stud, though. Caleb Wilson.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Tight end.
California.
UCLA.
I thought it was California.
Yep, UCLA.
You sure about that? You're 100% positive.
Doesn't matter.
No, it does, because let me tell you why he got – because check that to be sure, because the reason he even got drafted was because Carolina played in the opening game of the season last year, and I think the tight end went for like 200 yards receiving, and that's how he got there. That's how the tight end got put on the board. I think it's California, dude. I could be wrong.
I know.
Okay, anyway, while you're looking at
Caleb Wilson, UCLA.
Okay, then I'm wrong. California's tight end went for 200 yards.
So Arizona got the first and the last pick.
Oh, did they?
That's a good strategy.
Good strategy. Bob, dud of the week. No dud?
My dud of the week, man, is just these general managers of the Arizona Cardinals and New York Giants. I mean, those guys literally should be fired today.
You know who the general manager of the Giants is, right? David Gettleman. You know where he used to be general manager, right?
The Panthers.
Yeah. Yes.
Look what happened to him at the Panthers, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just letting you. Yeah.
I mean, I think if you try to write a book about what not to do, they've done it the last 2 years.
Really?
They took a running back second pick. They're still playing Eli Manning. Wow. Should have retired 3 years ago. Mm. And
even though it's Saquon Barkley, who is a game changer.
He's not. If you look at his stats, all his main gains were when they were so far behind, they were playing prevent defense. And he's not a game changer for 8 to 10 years like a quarterback. He's a game changer for 2 to 3.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm. It's not worth the second round.
All right, my dud of the week. Before I get my dud of the week, I left out, did he really say that? I got two quotes that I think are freaking awesome. Kyle Long. Anybody know who Kyle Long is?
Mm-hmm.
He is a guard for the Chicago Bears.
Howie Long's son.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So, when I forget the player that was drafted, got drafted in the first round. Kyle Long, you know, Howie Long, NFL Hall of Famer, Fox announcer, one of the greatest defensive linemen of all time, won Super Bowls. Kyle Long was a first round draft pick of Chicago Bears. He goes out and tweets, "If my dad wasn't such a scrub, we would have all been first rounders."
It might have been Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa got picked.
That's who it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle Long said that. Of course, Howie was a free signed as a free agent and was one of the greatest defensive linemen of all time. Yeah. But Kyle Long said that. I thought that was pretty funny. And then Darren Rovell, who was ESPN's business guy, tweet of the night was, everybody talking about Daniel Jones and the Giants. Daniel Jones looks like the actor they cast to play Eli Manning in a movie about Peyton Manning's life.
I saw that. That's funny.
Two darn pretty good quotes right there.
Speaking of that, Peyton Manning's the reason why the Giants took Daniel Jones. Yeah.
Because of the Cutcliffe.
Cutcliffe and Peyton Manning have a connection.
Yeah. Well, and actually, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but the Mannings come, Eli and Peyton come every year to Durham.
That was Cutcliffe, the quarterback coach?
Tennessee. Well, he was quarterback coach at Tennessee when Peyton was there.
He was the head coach.
At that time, Philip Fulmer, I guess. Yeah. But then he left as the quarterback's coach and went to Ole Miss and was the head coach at Ole Miss.
For Eli.
Yeah. Okay. So Eli and Peyton, when they both were playing up until several years ago, because he's been the head coach at Duke for several years, both of them would come back during the summer and work with Cutcliffe. And now they still come back. I mean, and there was a picture of last summer with them two, with Peyton and Eli and Daniel Jones standing. So that's, you're absolutely 100% right. That's the connection. My dud of the week now, really quick, we're at 47 minutes. Kansas State wide receiver, Hunter Rison. Okay? Hunter Rison. He went to Michigan State for 1 year, then transferred, had sent out Kansas State wide receiver, Hunter Rison. He was suspended indefinitely after his arrest on domestic battery charges. But I have to give Hunter a little break. Hunter gets it honest.
Andre
Bad Moon Rising was his father. A great wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. I think he may play for another couple teams. But Andre was known to have some off-field problems. I don't know if y'all recall, but his $10 million mansion or whatever it was burnt to the ground by his pissed-off wife at the time, who was like a female rapper for some group. They got into a domestic dispute, and instead of hitting each other, she just took a torch and burned their $10 million house in Atlanta to the ground.
It's always a good idea.
So, got to give Hunter a little break, but he does get it, honestly, from the fact that there's some domestic battery charges pending, but he is my dud of the week. So, anybody got anything else for the greater good?
Let's wrap it up, baby.
Woo! Thanks, Mike Brannon, Twin Peaks. We'll see you guys next week. Later.